you can all go there. Those who subscribe can go and read that one. Lydia actually picked it out, and she's married. I think this is a great one because I have so many people that always talk about, you know, that they just don't make contact or they don't feel like they're effective when they're talking to people and stuff. And I go, great, anything that's going to help people feel like they can be a little bit more effective with prospects, because that's what the name of the game is, you know, if we're going to spend time. And this is what I tell people. Because I was horrible with it. I'm a promoter, and a lot of you guys are promoters too, and that's just talking about personality quadrants now. And what we tend to do is we tend to go out there, we kind of shoot from the seat of our pants thinking we can tackle this. And, you know, we're personable. We love people, so we can just go out and say. But the idea is it's a specialty. Impacting people's lives is a specialty. There's an art to it. There's an art to being able to intrigue people. There's an art to being people believing that they in you. There's an art to having people trust you. It's not just go out and be you, because there's things you can do, just small little things to tweak to just be a little bit better in that. And I really believe that. I believe if I would have learned some of these things, you know, 10 years ago, I'd probably be a double platinum presidential today. But I didn't put the time and energy into really learning it. I stumbled through it all and kind of developed it just by experience. And you can do that, but why do? It's kind of like, do you have to experience everything in order to learn it, or can you learn from somebody else who's a master at it? And that's why I think these trainings are so important, is to understand that there are things that each and every one of us can do. Just even, and that's one of the reasons I love doing trainings on Monday morning calls, because every single time I train, I learn. And I am open to learn as much as I possibly can. And there's just more and more out there for me to learn. And every day, just like today's call, I looked at these notes and I read her article and I was like, wow, I never realized some of this stuff. So that's what makes me know it's great stuff to train, because if I've been involved in Manatech for all these years and I still didn't know a lot of this stuff, wow, let's go over it and share it with people and just say, how can I fine-tune my approach? Because, again, if I fine-tune my approach and it just gives me 10% more effective, then every time I contact 10 people, instead of maybe getting 2 or 3 or 4 involved, now I'll get 4, 5, or 6 involved. Now, that's worth it, because that just means I'm going to be that much more successful in my Manatech business. And so it's worth it to each and every one of us. How could I help shift my results in the prospecting I do? Because it's not, you know, a lot of people like to talk about network marketing and they say it's a numbers game. And I'm going to tell you, there's no question network marketing is about numbers. It's about going out and sharing with lots of people. But if you can raise the effective level, then you can bring down the numbers. In other words, you don't have to do it every day of your life 10,000 times to get, because you're increasing your effectiveness. And if I'm going to dedicate that much time, I want to be as effective as I possibly can. Okay, enough on that. So there's a foundational underpinning of why you want to learn the things that we're teaching today. Okay, so what does Diane do in her article? She goes out and she says, here's 8 major suggestions on building rapport and just presenting yourself and making presentations that are going to be effective with that prospect. So you want to make sure you're clicking with the prospect, that you're not doing, it's not like oil and vinegar. And I know a lot of you out there can say, we can all remember those prospects. In fact, some of you can remember them from yesterday, from church yesterday, that somebody you talked to. And you can see the oil and vinegar. That happened. Why weren't they receptive to me? They didn't even want to hear me. They shut me down before I even got started. You know, boy. And so how do you stop that from happening? Or how do you move forward with it? How do you make it more effective? And that's what we're about, because we don't want the oil and vinegar. We want everybody to be happy. We want hugging at the end of our presentation. I did one yesterday at church. That's why I brought it up. I had somebody in my church brought me a gal who was in the Sunday school class, and she started sharing with me some of her health issues, and I started relating to her about her health issues and what was going on in her body, and she was just overwhelmed by the amount of information I had with her incredible disease. You know, and I just talked to her about it. I didn't tell her we could heal, cure, or mitigate anything. I just said, wow. I said, you know, there's deficiencies in the body that really need to be restored for your body to be able to respond to what goes on. And, you know, it's just fun languaging. It's totally different languaging, but it's fun. It's just because I find the new Manitech 10,000 times better than the old Manitech, the way we used to do business. So I just, you know, and by the time we were done, we prayed, we hugged on each other, she signed up. It's like, oh. Now, that's the kind of response you want from people. But how do we get to the point where we can get that kind of response from people? And that's the direction we want to go. So let's look at what she has to say. Number one, she says, consider your demeanor. Don't confuse boring with sincere. In other words, what she's trying to bring up here is the fact that a lot of people, people would run around and dance and jump up and down and do all sorts of fun, you know, and so people are going, hey, I'm not going to be hypey. I'm just going to be authentic. I'm going to come across very real. And, you know, and there's that whole movement in network marketing, thank goodness, otherwise I never would have fit in, about authenticity. It's about just going out and being authentic with people. So there's no hype and there's no race. But she, what her suggestion is a lot of people are taking this on, but they're taking it on and they're becoming boring because they're just they're leaving behind their enthusiasm and their passion because they don't want their enthusiasm to be read as hype. And I'm going to suggest to you, when you start dragging it to that level, you're not going to have impact on people because people are attracted to enthusiasm and passion. So how do you temper your passion? You know, most of you guys, maybe you don't have to temper passion. You got to find it. You know, I mean, that's what I typically get more people that approach me and say, Mary Jo, how do I develop passion? And that's a great question. And what it is, passion comes from belief. It comes from internal belief, knowing that you know that what you're doing is so right, knowing that you know, and just having that conviction in your heart. And then watch the passion that you have to take it forward to the world. And that's what helps you breed passion. But we need to get that in our communication. So it's not about hype. It's not about overselling or being overzealous about it. It's about just loving on people and just saying, wow, tell me about you. Empathic, listening, hugging it, just like the woman I did yesterday. I mean, I asked her about her condition and what it meant for what it was doing in her body, and I go, oh, my gosh, I can feel for you. I said, you know, you're going through a lot of the similar things. Like, it's almost like a combination of lupus, fibromyalgia, and rheumatoid arthritis all in one. And I said, but it's all part of a conditions where the body's attacking itself, you know. And she had talked about the autoimmune conditions. But I first let her tell me about her condition and what she was feeling, and I got into that empathy with her. The passion I had towards solving her problem or helping support her and helping support her body to be the best it could be and all that, she read all of that in my body language, in my heart. And I didn't have to get jumpy. I didn't have to get anything. All I had to do was just come from honest, loving, caring, authentic, you know, and passionate towards healing, passionate towards God created your body and more. And how do we help empower the body to do what God created it to do? Let's talk about that. And we just had a great share. And it was super. So it's about, I didn't get hypey. I didn't have to get overly enthusiastic. Of course, some people look at me and say, Mary Jo, everything out of you is enthusiastic. So it's part of my nature. But I'm telling you, make it part of your nature. And you can do that without being unnatural. Just, you know, listen. If you have a hard time getting, you know, excited about something, because you're just, you go, Mary Jo, I just have this real mellow, marshmallow personality, and I don't get excited about it. I said, what have you ever gotten excited about in your life? I love to ask people that question. And they go, I don't know. I said, when you had your first baby, your first child, did you get excited? When you met your spouse, did you get excited? Did you do this? Did you get excited? Okay, great. I want you to go back and be in that experience. Feel what you felt then, and I want you to feel that again. I want you to revisit that experience. And that's what you need to do. So it's about animation, energy, inflection in your voice. You know, you slow down, you speed up, you do inflection. You know, you just go, wow. You know, you can get excited, but not at all. You know, it's about the differentiation in your presentation. So look at your presentation. Where can I add inflection? Where can I be a little bit more animated? Where can I have more energy? Where can I slow down to make a point? All of those things play a role in your presentation. So, again, don't confuse boring with sincere. You can come across extremely sincere and yet be very passionate and enthusiastic about what you're doing. Number two, distinguish between agreeing and understanding. I found this to be an amazing point. Which is agreeing and understanding. You know, you can. Here's an example. I just thought I'd throw one out there for you. You can understand their plight with money. So if somebody says to you, I don't have the money, you can say, you know what, I get that, but the importance of taking care of your health has to be a priority in one's life, because without health, it doesn't matter how much money you have. So there's, you know, so many of us, I can see that how what happens is that people will say something, you say, oh, okay, you know, and we go, oh, okay. And what we don't understand is that we end up agreeing with them. We're sending mixed signals because nodding our head yes or I understand or all these things, because we're taught somewhere in life somebody told you that when people start complaining about something, you should be very understanding. Yeah, well, you can be understanding without not saying, I understand. That they're right. You want to make it really clear that you have empathy for them, that you care about their plight, or that you can feel for them, but you want to take it to the next level. So you don't make your agreement with people, you know, they're going to read it as agreement that you're supporting them in their reason not to move forward, when in fact that's not what you're doing. So watch out for the nodding, the smiling, and the supportive statements that you might be making, because they could be misread. You want to use direct language instead of all these physical signs, because people will just feel like, oh, she agrees with me. Another great one to use in this regard to make sure that you're disassociating yourself from agreeing with them versus understanding them is to use a feel, felt, found. When people, that's a great response to people's mechanisms around objections. You know, when somebody says, well, you know, I don't know how you can, I just don't think I can afford this. And I can say, you know what, I understand. Or they say, it sounds very expensive, Mary Jo. And I go, you know what, I understand how you feel. Because when I first looked at Manatech a number of years back, I just kept thinking, how can somebody spend $100 a month on supplements? But do you know what I found after I started taking these products? Work. I wasn't having to pick up my kids at school and bring them home and skip work for that, because they were getting sick all the time. The copays totally disappeared from our family's life. The cheapest, you know, insurance policy, health insurance policy I've ever seen in my life. So you bring them around. So you want to. So feel, felt, found is a great way to get around this concept of agreement versus understanding. You can understand a person but not agree with them, and make sure you have a lot of clarity on that when you work with people. Because if you just nod yes or say I see or I understand, they're going to take that as agreement. And then what happens is you're going to create a negative result. You're not going to get them to move forward because they feel like you're in agreement with them. So examine your language, examine your emotions around that, and do it differently. Look at what you're doing today and saying, and I find the people that have the greatest tendency of doing this behavior are people that need to be liked. And if you come from that posture that you feel like, wow, I got a program running me, I need to be liked. And some of you on this call are going to say, oh, I don't have that problem, when you have it, but you just don't see it. Awareness around it. It's a concept that when people say things, you're just, it's more important that you don't express your opinion than maybe risk the relationship. It's a quadrant, a personality quadrant called the supporter quadrant. It's the people that are in that quadrant that tend to have that biggest program running, the need to be liked. And if you have that going on in your life, this is the way you're going to be. You're going to be agreeable short instead of a person that's bold and courageous about what they know is right and try to move people forward. So if you find yourself, or you want to see, am I one of those people? Is that what's holding me back? Because I'm just so agreeable and so nice, you know, I won't, you know, offer up my opinion or help people make a paradigm shift, because I don't want to potentially harm the relationship. Well, geez, so I want this person to die instead of harm the relationship. Whoa, you know, take it to its most extreme posture. What's most important for me is a person takes on the responsibility for their health. if they don't like me, that's okay. I'd rather they have a long life and have incredible vitality life than like Mary Jo. What's most important to me? So that's the priority I put in place. But if you have the problem of need to be liked, there's that great book out there. I mention it from time to time by Chad Helmstetter. It's called What Other People Think. No, is that Chad's? No, it's, I can't even remember her name. Chad Helmstetter is the one who wrote the book about what do you say to yourself when you talk to yourself. The one I'm talking about is a book that's called What Other People Think of Me Is None of My Business. And I can't, I don't remember her name off the top of my head. Sorry, maybe it'll come to me as I go through the rest of the call. But it's What Other People Think of Me Is None of My Business. So look up, use that book, and you will learn a lot about you in that book and how you need to shift. Okay, 3 point is use a positioning.
Terry Cole Whitaker.
Thank you. I was going to say Whitaker, and I said, no, it's got a hyphenated name, Terry Cole Whitaker. Thank you, Terry. Thank you. It's a great book. Okay. Thanks. So use that. Number 3, use a positioning structure instead of a pitch, or positioning presentation instead of a pitch. What is that all about? We have a set program. We have kind of like, okay, this is how my presentation is going to look. And I'm not telling you not to be prepared. In fact, especially you people that are on, that are just starting Manatech and been in it for only a couple months and you're trying to perfect your presentation. Absolutely. You want to work on what is most important to say, what kind of information do I need to get out there and make sure that you're not bringing up things that were just important to you, because what's important to you may not be important to them. So, but you want to be prepared so you don't feel like you're stumbling and bumbling over this information. And today it's easier because you don't really get into a lot of the, results that I've had and all this kind of stuff. You're just basically out there opening up a possibility for approaching people's wellness. Let's tackle your wellness. Let's get you on a great wellness program, because health is so crucial today, and you don't want to become another statistic. Whatever that language is that you want to use, you can get that language prepared. But the problem with it, as you go down the road and you start sharing more and more, and you're going to become more and more proficient as you chair, what's most important is that you're not coming off of a canned speech or a formulaic presentation. You're not going to want to be that structured with people, because everybody's different. So the concept that she brings out in her article is that instead of having a pitch, which everybody knows about sales pitches, our whole goal in this approach is to have positioning presentations. And that means that you work with people where they're coming from. So like yesterday's presentation to this gal, it wasn't about who is Manatech, what we're all about, da 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 da. What my presentation was is, where is your need? What is going on in your life? What's happening for you? And I'm just listening to people pour out their hearts about what's going on in their life. And then let me just come from solution for you. My directive is, how do I solve the problems that you have? I can't solve your problem if I don't know what the end is. And I'm sure Zach not going to tell you what your problem is, because that doesn't work. I don't like people telling me what I need. So I wouldn't appreciate it if I was telling. I expect the same from them. If I go out and just say, you need wellness and this is what you, forget it, not going to work. That's why it's so important to, when you meet people, is just break the ice and have fun with them. And within 5 minutes, conversation you ever have. So if you're out there just, cold market prospecting, do that. If you're working with somebody, you just, open their hearts. What's going on in your life? Somebody told you that I do nutrition work. What can I help you with? What is happening for you and your family that I can help you with? And you just open your hearts. And it's so much fun, because it's just letting them, and then it's a positioning presentation. It's a presentation around Manatech that it is about just what they need to know to make a decision to take them in a new direction and make something different for them. So, again, it's not about the pitching. It's about positioning presentation, and that means that you ask, you listen, and you solve. And those are those three basic: ask, listen, solve. It's kind of how I teach everybody today: ask, listen, solve. And we're going to talk about a lot about asking questions and what those questions look like and all that. That's part of a breaking ice part of the program and pathway that we're just going to really harp on and work on and send people out to do it over and over and over again, because that's what's holding so many people back. They don't know how to break the ice. They just don't know how to start the conversation. And then they say, well, I don't know. And I go, how did you used to start conversations before you were in Manatech? You know, the same way. You're just breaking ice. You're just loving on people, just getting to know different people in different walks, wherever they are. And so we work through that. But that's the important thing about making sure you're doing a positioning presentation. Position yourself to fill their needs versus a pitch, a sales pitch. People will always be able to see through a sales pitch. Number four is never just walk through your brochure or materials, give a guided tour. And I think that's a great thing, too. A lot of us like to hand out things. Now, of course, today we don't have a lot of things that we're handing out, but historically we gave out a lot of materials, and you may be doing the same thing. You may have materials that you're handing out to people. That's one of the reasons I also like CDs and DVDs, because it's more reflective. You know, if you hand out a brochure, if it's a four-page brochure, you're not guaranteed the person's going to look at any of it. They might just look at the back and find out what the price is. You know, you don't want to do that. You want to make sure that when you work with somebody and you're using written materials, highlight it. You know, circle things for them. If you're going to hand it to them, you know, take a highlighter out. I wouldn't necessarily have it pre-highlighted if I were sitting down with them. I would just have a part of my presentation is going to be I'm going to go through the specific things in here, and I'll even tell them up front. I'll say, you know what, here's a brochure that tells you all about the products, but let me just go through a few critical parts of it. So I'll open it up, and I might just highlight the few things that I want to really stick in their head. What, and those few things are what? What makes us unique? What makes us unique? Why are we different from other people, and how is it going to meet their need? So whatever that is in that brochure, that's what I'm going to highlight for them. So I'm almost personalizing that brochure to be something perfect for them, and that's what you want to do. So you make sure it's a walkthrough versus just giving it to them and let them. You want to do the guided tour of your materials. If you're sending materials out to people in the mail, same thing. When you send materials out, make sure you're highlighting different parts of the materials. You highlight them in advance so that they, you know, because people won't, they're not big readers today. A lot of people won't read through anything. People from your analyst quadrant will do all the reading in the world. The people in other ones, the promoters, they'll just look at the pretty colors on the brochure and something that's, if you highlight it, they have a chance that they'll look at that. Otherwise, it won't be read from cover to cover. So lead, guide, and direct them through the materials that you send them. Okay, number five, ask your prospect what he knows rather than telling what you know. In other words, what she's representing here is that, you know, a lot of people might have heard about Manatech. Not very many know about glycobiology, but they may have. But it's always a great way to break the ice, too. You know, in fact, it's one of my favorite ways that when people start talking about health issues, I love to look at them and talk to them about their health issues. And I said, well, have you ever heard of the science of glycobiology or the breakthrough technology called glycobiology? So I ask them what they know about it in advance. It's a great way because, see, sometimes if somebody has heard about Manatech, and sometimes what they've heard isn't all that good. So you want to know right away if they have some preconceptions about what Manatech is. You know, they might have seen some stuff in the internet or read it in a newspaper or whatever, and you want to be able to counter that. So you want to find out what's already out there, and then you can do your presentation. So it's more about you supplementing their information they already know or correcting it than it is about you being on a lecture tour or a lecture series. And that's the importance of that. So you don't want to be saying things that people already know. And that's one of the ways I get people involved in conversations as well. You know, I say, are you familiar with how our, you know, the foods that we eat today and their lack of nutrition? I'll ask that question. And the reason I love to ask those kind of questions is because I get people that just go on a rampage on the answer to that one. I mean, they're just so angry, and they go, oh, my gosh, it's horrific. In fact, you know, I can't even find a good cereal for my kids to eat. And you know, when they start doing that in response to that question, all they're doing is talking themselves into taking your products. So let them ramble a little about that. People want to feel knowledgeable, and they want to feel responsible, and if that's what makes them feel that they're responsible or knowledgeable, let them feel that way. The greater you make the person feel, the more likely it is that you will get them started. Because people make great decisions when they feel good about themselves. Okay, so that's number five. So make sure you're supplementing their existing information, not being on a lecture series, asking and again, asking questions is so critical to that. tell failure stories. This is one that you brought up, number six. And I don't mean that you'll go in there and say, well, I got this guy started with fibromyalgia on amber toes. How about those kind of stories anyway anymore? We don't even mention disease conditions when we talk to people. So that's part of the past. But I will tell people, you know, when they go, well, how long will I need to take this? And I say, well, the length of time is dependent on your body's responses. But I said, but I want you to expect to take this the rest of your life because it's just nutrition. It's just food. It's nutrients missing in your daily diet today. So it's just like, are you going to drink water the rest of your life? Well, of course. So, but you may not take it at this level because your body may respond, and then you can just take a maintenance level to make sure that you're getting these nutrients. So I'll do that kind of stuff. And then I might bring up the fact, excuse me, that, you know, she might, people sometimes ask, does everybody get results in this? And I said, absolutely not. I said, like any nutritional products, you know, when people put nutrition and compensate for deficiencies in their body, if they don't take it long enough, if they're not disciplined with it, if they don't take enough, guess what? They won't see those kind of results. But the people that do are seeing terrific results. So you see, the admission there is very, very good because it's credibility. Some of you go out there and say, oh, my gosh, everybody who's taken these products has seen remarkable health results. That's not true. That is not true. Everyone who's been in Manitech long enough knows that that is not true. And a lot of the reasons why it's not true is that a lot of people are impatient. They want to swallow a pill today and feel better yesterday because that's what they want with drugs. And they look at swallowing a pill. There are a lot of people out there that still don't distinguish a, you know, bottle of Plus from a bottle of, you know, methotrexate. I mean, to them, it's all pills, so they qualify it all as medicine. How many times do you have people say, well, Mary Jo, I don't know if I want to take your medicine. I look at them, I go, I mean, it's like the hair curls up on the back of my neck when somebody calls my stuff medicine. It's like, but they do, you know. So the reality is that's what happens. So we have stories like that, and it's good for you to be totally honest because when you're honest, that people will believe you. You increase your credibility. It's like it's staying away from overstatements about what you have. And so it's not a bad thing to tell people that, you know, that you've worked with people where it hasn't worked for them. There are many reasons for that. And we can't even understand all the reasons for it. If I knew the reasons for all of it, I'd be light years ahead of the doctors in this world today. And I don't know the human body well enough, as none of us know it well enough, because we don't even have all the information. Somebody the other day was talking about, you know, with all the transplants we're doing today and all the sophisticated science we have around the body, do you realize that we still have only tapped into about 25 or 30% of our knowledge around the human body and how it works? And I thought, isn't that an incredible statement? That with all the sophistication that we have, we're still a far cry from understanding all the functions of the human body. So how can we possibly know all the reasons why it wouldn't work for people? But you share that with people so that they know that you're balanced, you're honest, and you're balanced in your presentation. When you become imbalanced, people look at you like, oh, yeah, well, there goes the credibility right away. It's like telling people, we're the best company, we have the best compensation plan, we have the best products, we have the best this, we have the best that, we have the best management, we have the best. I mean, it's like, oh, come on, I mean, where do I throw up next, you know? You don't need to say that. In fact, it's offensive. So just come from honest, ethical approach, authentic, and tell both sides of the coin so that people will trust you. Number seven is make statistics and facts experiential. And what she's saying here is the fact that what we need to do is that if you're going to present facts about the products or you're going to talk about clinical trial studies and things like that, and I bring that up not suggesting that we're bringing out the Fisher proceedings and all that stuff again because those are not usable. There are a lot of things today we can't use in sharing about Manitech, but there are some things that we can. We talk about a lot about, let's say, for instance, the AO, the clinical trial studies with AO, and it increased your auric and serum value by 37%. Well, people don't get that. Throwing statistics out at people, they don't get that. If I just tell somebody that, you know, the clinical trial studies around using amber toast AOs show that the auric serum value increases 37%, in the blood after using just two capsules a day. Now, when you tell somebody that, they'll look at you and go, okay, it means nothing to them. So what she's expressing here is that when you start throwing citrate into something that's meaningful for them, sometimes if you do a lot of statistics, people, they need pie charts or graphs or something that's going to show. Like if you talk about, you know, the lack of minerals or vitamins in our, you know, how deficient our foodstuffs are today. Well, there's that great piece from Farm to Market that has charts. And there you can, and when you show, when you bring a piece like that, you can show the charts of the loss of vitamins and nutrients in the average vegetable today. I mean, it's just, those are the kind of things that people can relate to. They're not going to relate to you saying we lose 70% of this and 40% of this and 30%. People don't, they can't relate to that. It's just throwing numbers at somebody. So have visuals with you when you do that. Or if you talk about, well, let's go back to the AO example. When I tell people about the AO, because that's how I love to talk about the AO, and I know it's compliant because Manitech's doing it, and then they do it in their what can I say. So anyway, when I talk about it, I talk to my God, just to give you a concept of how that relates to you and what you can bring it to a relationship. If you today started eating 5 to 6 more servings of vine-ripened organic-grown fruits and vegetables in your diet every day, 5 to 6 more, you could increase your ORAC and serum value by 13%. And these capsules increase it 37%. And I said, and I'll tell you another thing, they're one-third the price, because you know what it's going to cost you to go out and get 5 to 6 more servings of vine-ripened, you know, organic-grown fruits and vegetables on a daily basis. So you can really have fun with the pricing, too, on that, because you know how expensive that is. So you have some relationship to it, so you make sure that they really understand that they can bring it home to something that's meaningful to them. And that's the importance of using statistics in your talk. And then the last thing that that she brings up in her article is the concept of always come from undersell and overperform. And I think we're all well aware of that our whole goal here is not to go out there and oversell people. We don't want to talk about maximum gains. We don't want to talk about, you know, the greatness of all this. And if you're, you know, let's talk about the business model. That's usually what we do. And a lot of times we talk about the business model. And I still have a problem with this whole concept of going out and telling somebody, you know, here's a matching power bonus plan, and here's the, and telling somebody that, you know, in 3 months you can make $10,000. Well, you know what? They can do that. In 3 months, you can make $10,000. All you've got to do is find two, right? I mean, it sounds like, oh, wow, that's great. Let's go out. We can do that. We can make $10,000 in 3 months. So everybody says, great. Let's go out and make our $10,000 in 3 months. Draw out your matching power bonus plan and watch how that works. It's not a complex process. It's an easy picture to draw, because you just take your one little circle and build two circles under that one, and build two under each of those, and then build two under each of those four. You know, and there you go. All of a sudden, you're up to $10,000 in 3 months, right? And you look at that structure. You start building those structures. And the problem with it is this. Who does that? I mean, who really does that? That's the kind of stuff I can't do, because I think that's overselling, underperforming. If I could present a statistic to somebody and say, you know what, here's your structure, here's what can be done, you can earn $10,000, and I can show you that here's the statistics from Manitech that shows 25% of the people that get involved actually achieve this, that'd be great. But the problem is it's less than one-tenth of 100% that actually do it. I mean, why am I presenting something to somebody that is so miraculous, that how many people get that many all-stars in the first 3 months of their business? And I don't want to present something that's so overselling, and I'd rather undersell and overperform. I'd rather talk about, you know, like when I do the ICANN program, when I talk about one, just get one a month. Just get one person at $100, like a new consumer each month at $100 that says, you know what, I'm going to work this plan because I like this idea and I believe I can get 10, 12 people. And if they fail, if they have an 80% failure rate, they still can make $2,000. on a monthly basis in the ICANN program. So I tell them the income is all about 80% failure rate. It's not about 100% effective rate. It's about 80% failure rate. So it's about how do I, undersell and overperform. That's my goal in my presentation. So I not only feel good about myself, but when I bring that new person on, I feel terrific about them because I'm not walking into the relationship with them knowing that I know the statistics or the concept of them being able to fulfill this is like 1 out of 1,000 people are going to do this. I don't want to do that with people. This is what it's about. It's about trying not to put yourself in a posture where you're overselling and underperforming, especially when you know what the performance rate is. So when you look at the business side of it, be very careful. When you look in our new Manatech and the product side of it, you really can't do that anymore because you can't represent things. But even if you told somebody, you say, you know what, this is all about wellness and this is about prevention. And, you know, if you want to prevent yourself from ever becoming one of those statistics, you've got to get on this program. Well, I'm going to tell you people that they can get on the Manatech products and they still might get cancer tomorrow. They might get cancer 3 years from now. They might get cancer 10 years from now. Our products are not going to prevent them from ever getting a disease. What they will do is put the body in a great position to support itself to be as healthy as possible for whatever time period they have. But it's not. There's no guarantees. So the concept of, you know, don't go out there and tell them, oh, you mean if you're telling me if I take these products, I'll never get cancer. Yeah, that's what I'm wrong. It's not what you tell people. You just tell them it puts you in a better posture to be more proactive about having a healthier body for and a greater longevity and a greater vitality of life because you're getting rid of known deficiencies in the human body. And that's the fun of telling them that. You can make it very simple language, very simple, straightforward. It's just about are you in a, you know, and when people tell me why there's nothing wrong with me, and I said, great, there's nothing wrong with me either, and that's why I take these products every day. Every single day for 10 years. Why? Because I don't want anything to go wrong. You know, when you don't think that health is about what you do once you have something go wrong with you, then you're falling into our current medical industrial complex, which is treatment and illness versus prevention and health. So you want to be healthy from happening. And it's not just about going out there and eating well. It's about supplementing well because our foods don't contain the ingredients. So that's what's fun about presenting it that way. So there's really not an oversell there. It's about just education, paradigm shifts in education today in what we're telling people around these products compared to where we used to be, which was about how do we resolve your health issue. We don't do that. Human body has a capacity, but we don't do it. But, you know, we just help people overcome deficiencies to give the body the opportunities. Okay, so that's it. So great stuff she said today. And how many of you guys, you know what I did? I forgot to talk about, I attached something else at the back of the outline today because when you talk about demeanor, I just wanted to open people's eyes to the concept of what happens with nonverbal gestures. And I think it would behoove every one of you to just do a self-analysis of how am I behaving? How do I use my hands? How do I use my body? Because we all have habits. I have incredible habits. In fact, some people say, Mary Jo, you couldn't talk if you didn't move your hands. And if you saw me on my Monday calls, here I am, I have the phone to my ear, and I'm moving my hands the whole time I'm talking. So maybe there's some truth to that. But we all have gestures that we use in our communication style. And what you want to do is fine-tune them. None of us are perfect. And if we can learn how to be better with the gestures we make, the eye movements, the nods of the head, the way we hold ourselves, our posture, our hand motions, do we cross our legs, uncross our legs? And Lydia found this great piece about nonverbal gestures, and that doesn't apply, but if you really want to do a thorough study of what gestures say and suggest, you can look through the whole thing. I think you need to really focus on the first one, openness and confidence and cooperation and readiness, so that you understand. And you could look through the rest of them and try to find what gestures you most frequently have. In terms, and if you don't know, a lot of you have no clue of what gestures. So what I would suggest you do is you take this list and maybe you give it to people that know you really well. And they might not even be able to answer it for you, but you know what? If you ask them, you say, you know what, over the next couple of weeks, I want you to just kind of, would you just pay particular attention to the gestures I make and my, you know, my eye move, my head, and just review this list. And then, you know, in 2 weeks, let's sit down and I want you to give me an analysis of where do you think I am. Find people who know you well, who will do that for you, a spouse, you know, a family member, or somebody in church, somebody, a friend of yours, or whatever. Get independent third-party feedback on your gesturing in your communication style. Because I'm going to suggest for you to do it to yourself is going to be virtually impossible. It's too hard for us to be aware of what we're doing. Open your eyes and open your heart to listen to feedback. And remember what feedback is, people. All it is somebody else's opinion. You can choose to change your mind, agree with it, disagree with it. It's just their opinions about what's happening. So it's not, you always be open to feedback. I am. I love feedback. I didn't used to be there. I used to think it was criticism. But today I have a whole new outlook on feedback, and it's so critical because it only can help me be better. And that's what feedback's about. So get out there and do that. Those are because there can be things that you're doing that you're not even aware of that are stopping you from being effective in approaching prospects. And it's just bad habits that we've developed over the years on gesturing, on motions, on body language, that's shutting people down, that we would never intend it in a million years, but it's part of who we are. Okay? All right, so that's the last thing. That's all I got. Any questions, any issues? Was this helpful for you guys? New things, anything that, or just help support you in things you've already known? Okay, quiet group. We'll let you go. You guys all have a great week. Get out there and use this now. Remember, our number one thing that's stopping us is that we're not sharing enough. So get out there and start sharing with more people. That's what we need to do. Talk to more people. There are billions of them out there just waiting to hear from you. So make sure you make those contacts and move forward. Lots of people need lots of help, and you've got a lot of solution for them. Okay? Love you all. Have a great week, and I'll talk to you next Monday. Thanks. Bye-bye.
The moderator has disconnected.